Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
Dog food! He's covered in dog food!
Very elevated up and over the top of the assistant.
Bailey, no! Get down!
Are you kidding me?
You ruined my life! I told you I was going to ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling on the unofficial WWE podcast. My name is Mimi Burris, and today is February 6th, 2021. It is post-Royal Rumble week, and I am excited to talk about all the happenings in wrestling this week and get into what was good and what was bad, and you guys know the gist. So real quick, couple housekeeping things. If you are new to this podcast, new to the show on this podcast, if you're just new in general, thanks for listening. Thanks for choosing us to listen to. Thanks for choosing this particular podcast to listen to. And I hope it can be a joyous experience for you, whether it is a one-time only thing or you join our wonderful listeners of the unofficial WWE podcast. With that being said, if you are an avid listener, again, thanks to you too. It means a lot. It means I get to keep doing this thing. And other than that, I wanted to quickly talk about a couple things that went on in wrestling this week. Not just on, obviously, not on camera, more so off camera. And firstly, I wanted to talk about the Lars Sullivan release. You know, there's been a lot going on. There's been a lot of news, speculation, whatever, but really at the end of the day, I think, like, we all saw this one coming. This guy was a PR mess, was not nearly, this is such a crappy comparison, but if you think of somebody like Randy Orton, who got himself into all sorts of trouble back in the day, when social media was not nearly as popular, but still got himself into plenty of trouble, but he's Randy damn Orton, you know, so he could kind of get away with some of that stuff. Some of the stuff Lars Sullivan was, in my opinion, obviously in no comparison to the stuff Randy Orton was doing. I mean, I am not sad to see that racist, homophobic bigot off my television. I understand everybody deserves a second chance, but it doesn't sound like he's learning any kind of lessons considering he's still doing what he's doing. But with all that, you know, even though I say all that, I do wish him the best in his future endeavors. And I hope we never have to talk about him on this podcast ever again. And speaking of racist, homophobic bigots, Jackson Ryker is still wrestling on WWE TV. Yet, Steve Cutler was released. There's not an exact reason why they, WWE or Steve Cutler has not put out a exact reason as to why this happened. Again, the speculation is that Vince McMahon was not happy that he was at a party, some New Year's Eve party, which meanwhile, by the way, a lot of the wrestlers did it. You know, Steve Cutler was obviously not in in lonesome about that, but like, I obviously hate that the man lost his job. Sounds like he's going to do other programs as soon as this whole 90-day no wrestling clause is up with. And I actually really do wish him the best in his future endeavors. But I am just baffled by this company once again that they are going to keep one guy from the Forgotten Sons and forget about the other one. And again, I'll leave it at that. I don't get political on this show, but I don't think racism and just being an overall, this is a PG show, so just being an overall jerk, let's put it that way, is any kind of political nonsense. No, I just think that's human decency, and again, I'm not sad to see Lars Sullivan go, so, all right, all the housekeeping things. Oh, one last thing, too, I wanted to bring up. There's also some speculation around going that WWE is going to release, do another mass release. And I know they do kind of their spring cleaning, which is such a crappy way to call it, or a crappy way to look at it. But they do sort of spring cleaning around this time of the year. I don't know if it's post or pre-WrestleMania, but I just wanted to throw it out there that This company has record profits this year, and it's probably record worst programming this year. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, but I don't think I've ever seen worse WWE TV than I have this year. And what do you know? There is rumors that there's going to be more releases, like the giant mass release we saw earlier in 2020. So I am continuously disgusted with this company, yet here I am on a podcast talking about it. So I don't know what to tell you, but just wanted to give you guys a brief update in the news. We are not a news show particularly, but there's some stuff going on in WWE that is hot topics and definitely relates to what we see on screen. So I wanted to quickly talk about all of that. But let's move on to the fun stuff, or the not so fun stuff, and get into our official low for the week. And I think I said in the beginning of the show, maybe I didn't, but I enjoyed most of this week in wrestling, whether it was AEW, NXT, even Raw and SmackDown. Specifically, even Raw wasn't that bad. I found myself being angry at my television much less than normal. Not that I don't think there's a normal amount to be angry at your television, because that's not normal, but that's why I'm here analyzing the product. Anyways, overall, I thought it was a pretty great week, but there are two things in particular that I kind of couldn't decide one or the other for the low for the week. But I made a vow in the beginning of, or on like episode one of this podcast, I will always choose a specific low for the week. But I do want to quickly say that the runner-up for this week was that whole tag team, women's tag team match, number one contender match on Raw. Not because the match was bad at all. It was wonderful to see Naomi again. But I just don't get the Charlotte walking out thing. It just doesn't really make sense to me. And I think I like this program more than others. Not just because I love Charlotte Flair, which I've expressed on this podcast before. But if I'm trying to look at it from a subjective point of view, I mean, of course, we're all like, okay, you know, Ric Flair is sleeping with Lacey Evans. Like, that's the easy way to look at it. And they've mentioned things about hotel rooms and yada, yada, yada. But if you look at it in a more of a way, and again, WWE, I should not be thinking this hard, but I'm trying. So maybe if you're listening to this, I can help you enjoy the storyline a little bit more and make it not so disgusting. But if you look at it in the idea of, here's Ric Flair, a guy who just doesn't have it anymore, especially on the mic, man. It is hard to hear him on the mic. I mean, you know, we all age. There's nothing against him, but it's gotta go. But anyways, my point being is that, you know, here's a guy, Ric Flair, who doesn't have it anymore. And people aren't coming up to him to ask him this, this, and that anymore, right? His daughter is the next big thing, like, is the next big Flair. And then you've got some supposedly pretty blonde asking him for help on wrestling advice and yada, yada, yada. Like, instead of looking in a sexual way, maybe you could look at it in a professional way. I don't know. I gave it a shot. So maybe, hopefully, I helped you enjoy that storyline maybe a little bit more, but I probably didn't. So let's just move on over to AEW. Sorry to say, second week in a row, AEW is getting my low for the week. And I think, and I'll probably say this four or five times after this, it's because I expect more from AEW. I think it's a really good show, and it is a pro wrestling show as well. It is so well put together, well advertised. You know what you're going to get on the card. None of this, like, this, this, and that. This is getting thrown together, yada, yada. Like, it is, overall, promo-wise, way better. It's just a really good show, and I am a WWE fan through and through, but I see the appeal in AEW. I don't even know why. I mean, better company, better wrestling, but still, here I am, and I am, like, a stan for WWE. But anyways, there's just something about WWE that does it for me, I guess. But I want to get on to the official low for the week this week, which was the beach break wedding of Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford with best man Miro. And for those of you who don't know, Miro is or was formerly Rusev in WWE. Kind of came over to AEW with this gimmick of best man. And wow, has this story dragged on for a really long time. And for this, This was the payoff for all those weeks of just nonsensical crap. I mean, this was just bad from the beginning, in my opinion. But this wedding, right? Wrestling and weddings, I don't know why, but the two seem to just go together a lot. I mean, we have a lot of infamous weddings in WWE's past, and some good, some terrible. And not just in WWE, but in wrestling as a whole. And this specifically, this one was awful. It was boring. It wasn't funny. There was one line. I mean, they tried this. The comedy did not hit. And I'm a fan of Kip Sabian. I think, I don't think he gets enough credit for the work that he does. I think this was just like bad, whatever they wrote up script wise or whatever. It's kind of akin to, and I don't know if this is going to make any sense, but I like to edit video. I do a lot of video editing. And sometimes when you edit something together on a video and you can sit there thinking, oh, this is so funny, right? And then when you show it to the person you edit it for, or we show it to whoever or whatever, they will just sit there with like a blank face because it's not funny to them, though it might be funny to you. It's a weird thing when you, I'm sure some of you have this experience, but when you're crafting something, you can think it's so funny, and then it just doesn't hit with anybody else besides yourself. And that was the case of this, and unless I'm wrong and somebody liked this, but please, I would love to hear from you. I don't know, there was a joke where they were saying their vows, and Penelope Ford said, you know, like, Kip, you're so beautiful or something, and you have such a big, and then he cuts her off, and the joke is that he meant her, she meant his private parts. So, without running through this whole thing and giving you, I'm not even going to bother trying to give you guys any audio from this, that was essentially the bar for the humor in this segment. And then the you know, we end, they actually get married. That was a surprise. That never usually happens. And then Miro, aka Rusev, right, starts to make a toast. It's just awkward. It was just, the whole thing was just awkward. And Chuck Taylor, who is Miro's butler at the moment, again, for those of you who don't know, I'm not going to explain the whole storyline for you, but you can go back and watch it. It's pretty easy to pick up on, but you know, there's the, he gets them a gift, and it's this big box that looks like there's somebody in it. Turns out, oh no, it was just like, a fake. Somehow, off camera, they didn't catch it, but Chuck Taylor handcuffs Miro to the ropes, and then Orange Cassidy, the one saving grace to this whole thing, because Orange Cassidy is just wonderful, does the stereotypical thing, or the typical thing that we all could have guessed, and pops out of the cake. Weird brawl towards the end. Penelope Ford's face goes into the cake. I don't know. This thing was bad. The one little thing that I liked was they said something about, you know, if there's anybody who objects to this or whatever, and Mira goes like, like, no, we're not doing that. Like, been there, done that. Let's just move on. That only leads to disaster. And I thought that was funny, referencing, obviously, previously, but I don't know. It's not, I don't think it's that they didn't do that enough, too, but the whole thing was just awkward. Let me throw it like out there like that. It was uncomfortable, awkward. The timing, the pacing was off. It wasn't funny, and it was meant to be funny. And so if you're gonna spend this much time on a segment, and if you're gonna spend this much freaking time on a build, you gotta have some better stuff than what they did. I mean, ugh, it was bad. And, you know, if you, especially if you compare it into other weddings in wrestling history, this was bad. So like I said, I just expect more from AEW, and I was not impressed. So let's move on. That was the low for the week. I'm not going to talk about any other crap that I saw besides, again, Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio are the biggest heels in WWE, apparently, and Baron Corbin is a babyface. That is the only thing I'm going to say about any other lows for the week. But I want to get into the high for the week. And as you guys know, I include the Royal Rumble in the high for the week. It is on Sunday. Sunday is the start to the week, I guess, and that's how I like to get this timing so I can include the pay-per-view previously, obviously, or earlier in the week. And, you know, the high for the week is no other than the Women's Royal Rumble match. As a whole, for the most part, I mean, I'm not going to break down the entire thing, but I do want to touch on a few key points here. First of all, the winner, Bianca Belair, couldn't have gone wrong with that. Like, again, thank you, WWE. You don't always have to do the unpredictable thing. You can just do the thing laid out in front of you. It's that easy, and everybody was happy with this. For at least everybody I have heard or talked to was happy about this. I think Belair has a lot of work to do on the mic, and there are definitely things about her game that need to be fixed, but she is a star for sure. She's got the look, she's got the attitude, she's got the in-ring. It just needs some tweaking, I think. And then let's, you know, rewind a little bit to the ending of the match. You have Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair as the last three. First of all three of those are my top three picks to win because I love all three of those. So that's a subjective thing, obviously. But the way they did this, and they did a similar thing in the men's match with Randy Orton, is they put the person in that they knew the majority of fans didn't want to win, a.k.a. Charlotte Flair, right? Therefore, you've got this weird suspense of, oh my God, I swear to God, if Charlotte Flair wins two Royal Rumbles in a row, I'm going to freak, yada, yada, yada. And then you get the satisfaction of Rhea Ripley and Belair, you know, throwing her out of the ring. And I love this ending so much because it was just logical. These two made sense. It made sense what they did. Okay, here's the chick who we don't like, we both don't really like, and who came and kicked both our butts in NXT and, you know, won last year. Let's remove her from the situation first so then we can do battle, have a new face, you know, win this year. Did that. Easy. And then I love when they were on the outside, they looked at each other like, let's not do anything stupid here. Let's just take our time, get back in the ring, handle this like women. Because you see so many times these people just battling on the apron for however long. Get back in the freaking ring, like where you can't get eliminated super easily. And so I thought this was really, really well done, this whole match. You know, a lot of people didn't like that cute little 24/7 title thing with Alicia Fox and R-Truth. I thought it was funny. I think I am the only one, apparently, though, from at least what I've heard. The one thing I really didn't like was the Nia Jax eliminated Shayna Baszler, and then Shayna Baszler was just, like, mad for 2 seconds and like, ah, I'm over it. All right, let's go beat up Natalya together. I hated that they announced Natalya as the 30th woman to enter the match. Where was Tamina? My girl, Tamina. NXT had a giant showing in this, and I guess my only hope for this afterwards is that we've get some Rhea Ripley on the main roster, kicking butt, throw her in a world title picture right away. She deserves it. She has everything. I am excited to see what they do with her on the main roster, but I'm also really not excited because WWE and NXT call-ups do not have a good track record, so prove me wrong, Vince McMahon, please, I am begging you. And yeah, that was it. I mean, like I said, there was a bunch of other great stuff this week. The main event on AEW, that six-man tag, I mean, Rey Fénix is unbelievable, like superhuman. The suicide dives he does, he throws himself into the it's not barricade, guardrail, like he gets shot out of a cannon. I swear to God, it is so impressive to watch him. I'm not a big fan of all the when the tag team thing with the rules of 5 seconds in the ring and you gotta tag in and out and then it just becomes a big mosh. It messes with my head a little bit, so that's why this wasn't my high for the week, but it was still an amazing match. Good to see the Good Brothers doing all the good that they can do outside of a company that doesn't know how to book. John Moxley, incredible as always. Pac, future AEW world champion in my opinion, hopefully. Crazy to think what he was doing as Adrian Neville in WWE as well. Like I said, Raw was a pretty great show this week too. Good to see Carlito back. Shredded Carlito. I mean, Carlito made Edge's comeback last year. Like, Edge looked in shape, but I mean, Carlito, I didn't recognize him at first. The Xavier Woods-Mustafa Ali match was good, I thought. I like that little mid-card rivalry brewing. I want to quickly say that I am 22 and I had no idea who Bad Bunny was, so, but smart move for WWE. I understand why they're doing it. The Lucha House Party are incredible. There was a lot of great stuff, and I'm not going to bore you all with it. The only thing another thing I want to quickly mention is I was really hoping the Undisputed Era was going to advance in the Dusty Cup, but it looked like Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa advanced, and I couldn't be less interested in Timothy Thatcher, personally. And that's all I'm going to say for this show. Little review-y this week, I guess, but before we go, I want to quickly make sure I give you guys your random match recommendation for the week, which I actually did a little homework on and just watched this earlier today. So your random match recommendation for this week is none other than 2019 Men's Elimination Chamber match. Again, we're coming up on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view soon. This one was the start to Kofi Mania, and I swear my eyes welled up a little bit. There was probably dust in the room. That's what it was. But hearing the crowd chant for Kofi, oh, just a beautiful, beautiful moment. Awesome match. Totally recommend you guys go check it out. And the, first Elimination Chamber match in that, is the women's tag team match. That one was pretty incredible too. I mean, we forget how good Sonya Deville is. Give her the women's championship as soon as possible, please. All right. That's all from me, guys. Thanks for listening. I am excited to talk to you guys next week, and I'll see you then.